someone here tonight whose joy is going to let go. If you're the one, shout hallelujah.
Pastor Dewey is a man of humility.
He's someone who has touched reality, spiritual reality.
He is the one man that I've seen his ministry touch people who have been written off.
Somebody clearly walking in the world. And that has made him such a wise person.
He controls physical things by spiritual reality.
He's a man of holiness. He's a man who loves hard work. And he's a man who hallows the Lord. He loves worshiping the Lord.
A man that is consistent.
People think that power depends on gymnastic activity. But Pastor Deboy has made us know that power really comes from God.
The Holy Bible is replete with stories of men who lived and died unsung. But Genesis chapter 5 verse 24 speaks of an incredible man who walked with God. His name is Enoch. His life remains a poser to many Christians, especially the 21st century Christians. How could a man walk with God? What were his challenges? His strength? His weakness? The Holy Bible says that God was so impressed with the biblical Enoch's life that he could not taste death. Enoch did not die. Nigerian-born pastor Enoch Adejare Adeboye appears poised to replay the stunning life of his namesake as general overseer of a large and fast-growing church, the Redeemed Christian Church of God. He, in 1998, gathered 7 million people to give praise to Almighty God in an awesome event at Lekki Beach, Lagos, Nigeria, tagged Divine Visitation. The road to this milestone is indeed a long and tortuous one. So, how did it all start? September 1, 1939, the world was in a turmoil. A German of Austrian parentage, Adolf Hitler, launched the Second World War, thereby inaugurating a terror and violent eruption which in a flicker of 6 years will become dreadfully familiar to hundreds of millions of men, women and children in Europe, Asia and indeed the world over. But as the war raged far away in Africa on March the 2nd, 1942, inside the forest village of Ifewara in the southwestern part of Nigeria, a child was born to the peasant family of Moses and Esther Adeboye. The mother, Esther, hailed from Elisha. His father, Moses, was of the original stock of settlers who migrated from the ancient city of Ile-Ife to establish Ifewara. Moses, however, left Ifewara for Elisha, where he settled to the business of farming and drumming as a local musician. Here he met and married Esther, a trader in locust beans and pap. Their marriage suffered heavy child mortality, compelling Esther to refuse having any more children. However, through pressure and persuasion from the family, she bowed to her husband's wishes.
There was a time the Mother said she won't give birth again. She had even got for then. She said she won't give birth again. Herself and daddy quarreled too much. Then one day we asked daddy, why are you annoyed with mommy? He said, mommy said she's not giving birth again. But I want her to give birth more. Then we went back to mommy and told her we have asked daddy what is causing the quarrel. He said, you don't want to give birth again. We begged mommy to give daddy more. We said, give us. Any child you give birth to is for us. Mommy said, she has so many children, but they died. It is enough. We begged mommy till God took control before she was conceived of the general overseer's pregnancy.
The baby, which came after this supposed reconciliation, and which cleared the tears of the Adeboyes and brought joy to Esther in particular, is the one named Enoch Adejare Adeboye. He was the fifth of the children, but with one more dead, Enoch became the fourth, the last, and the only son. His mother spoke prophetic words upon his life. A particular one was that if he called one person, 200 would answer. Enoch, like the hero of faith in the Bible, shall lead millions of people across nations to God with music, dance, and praises of their Almighty Father in heaven. Enoch's march to a glorious height is not without his own Golgotha. As a pupil in Anglican primary school, he was brilliant and gentle like his father, who was described as a perfect gentleman. Enoch would return from school to join his parents at the farm, and he would go with them during weekends. But what would have been a tragedy in the Adeboye family turned out to be a divine insight into the future of young Enoch. He had left home alone to join his folks at the farm, but he got lost in the forest. Just as he cried hopelessly, a white dog appeared before him, and with a friendly wag of its tail, Enoch had no choice but to follow the dog. The dog would lead young Enoch to the farmhouse. Enoch's creator had come to his rescue.
He came back from school and wanted to go and meet daddy in the farm. The farm was at Akone. I told him the farm was far and we are going to trek. It was far and he started going. He got to a junction where he was confused of the way forward. As he was contemplating on which way to follow, a dog appeared to him.
Enoch completed his primary education at the age of 13 and soon gained admission into Elisha Grammar School to pursue his secondary education. But there was a problem. Moses and Esther, his wife, were so poor that raising money for Enoch's school fees was almost impossible. But with pressure from their little son and conviction about his sense of purpose and tenacious spirit, they sold some of their most prized possessions to raise a paltry sum for the start. Tragedy struck in the third year of Enoch's secondary school career. In the middle of his examination, his father, Moses, passed away. His principal, Reverend Akinyemi, led him home to attend his father's funeral and left with him back to school the same day. It was devastating for young Enoch, who had seen his father's life of toil and had prayed that the old man stayed alive to taste the fruit of his labor for his son. It was Enoch's principal, Reverend Akinyemi,
who went to the local church missionary society to secure a loan of £8 for Enoch to pay for his examination fees. Young Enoch was to pay back this loan as soon as he gained employment as a teacher.
I think he lost his father very early in life, and the idea of getting to a grammar school was all funded by the mother, who was very poor. And I know very well that he was not having many things some of us were having. He used to get assistance, I think, from the then principal, you know, to carry his school fees forward and later paid.
He grew up following the parents to Anglican church, which they attended on Sundays. He was an ardent lover of music. He had good cause to be. Both on his father's and mother's side, he came from families of musicians. His love for music and Jesus led him to join the choir of the Anglican Church quite early in life. Enoch finished his secondary school career, winning one of the best students' prizes. But on this special prize-giving day, he would need to be dressed in trousers and shoes, which he did not have at the age of 18. He had to borrow from a friend and relative, at least to collect his prize. Sadly, both the shoes and trousers were wrong sizes. Even though he may have looked comic, Enoch knew he had to collect his prize, and that he did, with pride and confidence in his ultimate destiny. Enoch Adeboye taught briefly at Okeigbo Ifetedo Grammar School before he commenced another quest for greater academic honors.
He was a mathematics teacher. When he comes, they call him Pythagoras' theorem. Everybody loves him in the school. Because if my uncle, for any reason, taught you anything and you don't understand, I can't see any master who will teach you and understand. So when they see him coming for the mathematics, everybody will rush to the class.
At the University of Nigeria in Nsukka, in the eastern part of his country, Nigeria, he enrolled for a bachelor's degree in mathematics. He had to join the volleyball team, not so much because he loved the sport, but because it would guarantee him some occasional free meals and little financial benefits, which he needed badly to augment his lean wallet. The outbreak of the Nigerian Civil War jeopardized his career in this institution, which was located in the then seceding eastern region of Nigeria. He escaped through a leaking boat across the river. Enoch finally obtained his bachelor's degree from the University of Ife, now Obafemi Awolowo University, in the western part of the country where he comes from. He returned to Okeigbo Ifetedo Grammar School once again to continue with his teaching career.
He's the one who will take the playing of organ. He knows how to play very well. I remember one of the our early morning devotion song then. Christ is a cornerstone, on him alone we build. He's the one who use the organ to put us through.
Enoch now was beginning to think of marriage. He was an upwardly mobile young man, even as a teacher. There were so many young women waiting for his word. His birthday celebration attracted a bevy of girls and cards with poetic love lines. But only one girl sent him a curious birthday present, a white Bible. Funke Adeyokunu, the eldest daughter in a family of 10, is a trained teacher and worked as a Sunday school superintendent at the United Missionaries College Ibadan, which then was like a woman's university. This first daughter of a respectable Elisha socialite stood out among her rivals. and she and Enoch were soon married and blessed with four children.
I met him in 1965. In our own times, he was not attending the same church with me. He is an Anglican, I'm a Methodist. And I met him through a cousin, who is his friend. He met with all that I'm looking for in a man. Humble and not boastful, like I used to tell people, because at the time I met him, I had all other boys in my life. But he met all the needs of my heart. We had happy marriage life, but I wasn't thinking I'm going to be a pastor's wife.
Enoch made two attempts to secure scholarships to do his master's and PhD abroad. But each attempt failed on flimsy reasons after he had passed the tests and interviews. He would soon find out that his frustrations in this regard had divine endorsement. The soft-spoken teacher finally settled for his master's degree program at the University of Lagos and a PhD in hydrodynamics from the same school at the age of 30. Now his ambition would be to become the youngest vice-chancellor in the whole of Africa. But his ambition would be short-lived, for this is the school where he encountered his almighty father, and his life was never the same again. With a teaching job in the same university, an inclusion for his family there on the campus, with choice drinks at his bar, plus a modest house in his village, the sky appeared to be the only limit for this young lecturer and doctorate degree holder, whose zeal and energy for solving mathematics seemed unparalleled. Despite Enoch's success in the academic arena, there seemed to be a void, a yawning hole in his life. Matters of personal security, safety of his family, protection from accidents and powers of darkness bothered him a great deal. Although he had been baptized in the Anglican Church and confirmed a communicant, he had not encountered God. His only knowledge of the supernatural were from tales of witches and wizards in his native home, Ifewara. To secure his much-cherished car and life from accident, he had to take a live goat to a native doctor for a preventive charm. But 1 week after obtaining this charm, he was involved in a car crash. It was shattering for Enoch. His problems became compounded as one of his daughters took ill and orthodox medication proved ineffectual. Enoch's relative, Reverend Chris Fajemirokun, then told him and his wife about his church, the Redeemed Christian Church of God, and assured them that their daughter would be healed once she is brought to the church. What the mathematics teacher and his amiable wife did not know and could not have imagined as they stepped out of their house that fateful evening was that they had begun a walk into God's plan for their lives. It is a long walk that would alter whatever personal plans they had made for their future, and above all, make them a willing vessel in the hands of God. Indeed, the year 1973 marked a turning point in his life, and by extension, his family's. But like John the Baptist heralding the coming of Jesus Christ, Reverend Josiah Akindayomi, founder and superintendent of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, had prophesied the coming of Enoch Adeboye, a man under whose leadership the church shall witness marvelous growth and expansion to the rest of the world.
He was so sure that a man who will carry this church to every part of the world, we succeed in.
Although the founder, Pa Akindayomi, had no formal education, he had told the congregation inside the Willoughby Street location of his church that he would be succeeded by a man of high academic standing, and that the prospective successor was yet to join the church. This was in line with a vision revealed to the founder on Mount Carmel in Israel. The general superintendent recognized Adeboye the day he stepped into the church as the man to succeed him. He and his wife were to be the Adeboye's guests that same day. They soon became very close as the lecturer became his interpreter, traveling far and wide with him.
Papa showed interest so much that there was a particular occasion during our long walk, during the holidays, that Papa had to stay with us in our home in Lesha for 2 weeks. And we seized that opportunity to establish the church at Ifewara then. So that shows a closer relationship. We've never heard that Papa went to stay with somebody for 2 weeks. And not only that one, before Papa died, he has come to stay with us in Ilorin. You know, when we were at Ilorin, at the University of Ilorin, he came to stay with us almost a month before he died. And that showed a closer relationship.
Barely 2 years in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Enoch Adeboye, while on his way to a bush to move his bowels in his village, Ifewara, heard the voice of God. And the voice told him clearly that he would succeed the founder and superintendent of his church. The young converts, Enoch and his wife, were not prepared for this burden of leadership. He was not prepared to resign his comfortable job in the university to lead a church with membership of a few hundred people. And so, together with his wife, he prayed fervently for this cup to pass. Adeboye's prayers could not change his divine destiny. He was ordained a pastor of the church by the founder, and the stage was set for a change of baton.
When Gio joined the church, he told us that a man who is going to take over from him is around, and is among those to be ordained in 1975.
Reverend Josiah Olufemi Akindayomi passed on in 1980, having named Pastor Enoch Adeboye his successor. But the founder's passage was bound to trigger crises. Some people left the church after the founder's death. Their reason was that the new general overseer, Adeboye, was overtly favored by their late leader. But Pastor Adeboye's appointment appeared to have a divine thumbprint, and so could not be stopped.
He was young in the nation. He came in 1973, and he became the general overseer in 81. There are some people who had been there for 30 years. So, some of these people who are his senior opposed it. But what had been written, had been written. Many of them had to leave the church when he became the general overseer.
The new leader, Pastor Enoch Adeboye, has astounding qualities. At sight, there is nothing surprising about him. He is an ordinary man who would make ordinary people do extraordinary things.
Now, if you can find a place at all to kneel, I will appreciate if you just kneel before the Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. But I can see some of you on the tree. Let us assume that you are already leaning there. Glory be to God.
The resources of the church were hardly enough to pay the full-time pastors. This meant that he had no chance of earning any salary. That notwithstanding, the new leader courageously resigned his job at the university. He left his mansion with two boys' quarters at the University of Ilorin where he had transferred to, and moved to a one-room apartment in a shack inside a dingy area of Lagos called Mushin. His hope of using his gratuity to solve some of his immediate pricking problems was shattered as he sought the face of the Lord and was instructed to divide it into three and give them out for various Christian projects. Pastor Adeboye was back to the dreadful days of poverty. With courageous courage of divine conviction, the general overseer began what has become a manifest revolution in Christian education and discipleship through the introduction of Christ the Redeemer's ministries and many offshoots, including the Bible College, School of Disciples, School of Missions, and Christ the Redeemer's Friends Universal. The kernel of the new leader's vision was total commitment to prayers, holiness, and humility. He is a workaholic. As a university teacher, a young believer with only 4 years' experience, he had organized a retreat aimed at spiritual revival, evangelism, and prayer for the nation after Nigeria's celebration of the World Black Festival of Arts and Culture, known as Festec 77, which was spiritually regarded as a celebration of gods and goddesses. This move gave birth to what became Congress. The success of this outreach program made Pastor Adeboye to add in the Redeemed Christian Church of God mission statement the vision of planting a church within 5 minutes walking distance in every village and town and within 15 minutes driving distance in metropolitan cities.
Pastor Adeboye believes in bringing the church as close as possible to the people. That's the reason why we decided to have churches as close as possible to the residents of our members. At least, if anybody should get out of his house within the next 5 minutes, even if he has no car, he should be able to get to the church.
He has evolved a church planting style that I would say is born of the Spirit. And it has worked because this thing came from God. And because instead of depending on his maybe natural abilities and so on, he has depended on the ability of God, on the revelation that God has given.
Before long, the membership of the church began to increase so rapidly that even those who doubted the hand of God in his appointment marveled at his giant strides. Three fundamental visions of the new general overseer have been pointed to as the pivot of the revolution that has made the Redeemed Christian Church of God the fastest growing church in Nigeria, and indeed one of the fastest growing churches in the world. The first of these is the Holy Ghost service, a forum for intense worship and rare manifestation of God's miracle.
The Holy Ghost Festival, for example, beginning with the Holy Ghost services, I've been pulling large crowd of people, and people are always drawn to the Lord when they see miracles of what the Lord is doing. You see, a lot of people wouldn't have yielded to the call of salvation. They don't seem to have an option by the time they see what only God could have done. A lot of people that could have died of strange diseases, of various attacks or oppressions, I've discovered that when they come to Holy Ghost services, they are delivered. So miracles actually go with salvation. The Holy Ghost service has been one of the contributory factors to the phenomenal growth of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, and also to the general level of revival in Nigeria and all over the world. So we believe that the Holy Ghost service is a gift to our generation.
In one of his retreats close to his birthday, God had asked this humble pastor what he would like to have as his birthday present. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Pastor Adeboye asked for a miracle for members of his church. God then asked him to bring them together. The result was a gathering of about 2,000 people for 7 days at the mission headquarters in Ebutimeta, Lagos. The incredible miracles witnessed at this gathering inspired the general overseer to make it a yearly event. But with the explosion in the number of participants, the headquarters became too small for this special event. It was consequently moved to the redemption camp of the church at the Lagos-Ibadan Expressway. And with increasing divine ecstasy and amazing explosion of the number of attendants, the Holy Ghost service became a monthly affair, happening every first Friday of the month. The vision of the model parishes is another landmark in Pastor Adeboye's Christian walk, and a major factor in the stunning expansion of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. As the general overseer, Pastor Adeboye had a vision of model parishes where professionals, technocrats, and the elite of the society would meet at fellowship with a mode of worship adapted to their tastes without altering the worship of God in spirit and truth. Contrary to the church tradition of solemn hymn singing, message of holiness and fervent praying, Pastor Adeboye introduced music, clapping, and dancing in these parishes.
The change was another problem. Like clapping hands, there was nothing like that. Beating of drums. You just sing and then shake your body. You are permitted to shake your body. In fact, at the time of Baba, there was a woman dressed worldly. And instead of that woman to listen to the word of God, Baba asked the ushers to carry her out. One must be born again before you can change your wardrobe. We cannot reach the whole world with the background we started with. Now, penetrating through the middle church and going to London, America, this shows that with the vision God has told the general superintendent, we are going to cover the world. That prophecy will be fulfilled.
He discovered that there were churches that were growing at a terrific speed, and they may not even have all the resources that we had by that time. So he discovered that, number one, these churches were made up of mainly young men and women, I mean youth in general, who were professionals. And that he discovered that in these churches, I mean, they give them a kind of environment, a kind of enabling environment to really worship the Lord. And the church setting is made in such a way that you will feel comfortable. It will be as if you are just in a hotel. Because if you want to invite professionals, you must provide an environment for them that will make them comfortable. These are people who hold their meetings in five-star hotels, who have traveled all over the world and everything. So he looked at all these factors. And then in addition, he discovered that even though these churches were growing at that speed, most of them were not preaching the full gospel, the complete message of the Bible. So he said, we will do everything that they are doing, but in addition, we will preach the full gospel.
Despite the criticisms and opposition from the traditionalists, the model parishes soon exploded, transforming the Redeemed Christian Church of God from a local community church to one with a staggering international reach. From a church with 39 parishes and about 1,000 members scattered scantily over the southwestern states of Nigeria in 1981, the Redeemed Christian Church of God, within 20 years of Pastor Adeboye's leadership, has spread like the mustard seed, having 4,000 parishes in Nigeria and about 4 million members, with additional parishes in 50 foreign countries and about 500,000 international members.
Number one reason we can ascribe for the growth of the Redeemed Church of God is to the fact that here is a man who hears God and who is ready to obey whatsoever God asks him to do. And he has a group of people follow him who are willing to do whatsoever God has them to do.
The vision of the Redemption Camp and the Holy Ghost Festival could be said to complete Pastor Adeboye's spiritual race to the explosion that his church has witnessed.
In the year 1982, when we had our last convention at the National Headquarters in Butimeta, the place was too small for us, too narrow. the premises could not take even up to half. So we had to go into secondary schools nearby to seek accommodation. And we discovered that if we had to host the following year's convention there, it will not be adequate. That was what brought about redemption camp.
We have been comfortable as lecturers in the university. Suddenly you had a change of status and you begin to live in a boys' quarters, from one room apartment to a boys' quarters. And suddenly again you came into a bush to live. And to live in a place where there is no light, to make the whole thing more complex. And you begin to see animals around you, even snakes in the room sometimes. It's a total switch over, you know, to something one can call, you know, a kind of lowers your integrity. But because it is God, we didn't see it like that. We were very happy about this question of the camp. It's like, you know, the best achievement we had in life then. And we were so happy. Everything we had was on it. Campground. So we were happy to come in. Even though as a woman, you know, it brought some fear into my heart. How can we be living in this bush?
While staying in his one-room apartment in the tacky Mushi Street, Pastor Adeboye had prayed to God to build for him a house. God replied that he would not only build him a house, but a city. After a long search for land that took the general overseer and members of the church to Ekpe and Agege Abeokuta Road, all in Lagos State, his wife, Mother in Israel, Pastor Mrs. Fuluke Adeboye, finally told her husband that God had whispered to her that the camp should be located at Lagos Ibadan Expressway. Having acquired the land and with faith in his inalterable destiny, the ex-university teacher instructed the builders to make the church auditorium big enough to sit 5,000 people, precisely 150 feet by 300 feet. In 1983, when the membership of the church was less than 1,000, this directive appeared ridiculous. But by 1996, this same auditorium could only serve as the children's church. And by the year 2000, the Redemption Camp had become Redemption City, first of its kind in Nigeria, and occupying 5 square kilometers with the possibility of expanding to 50 square kilometers. The new auditorium has since stretched to 2 square kilometers with expansion capacity of 10 kilometers, which has already been cleared and used for the Holy Ghost Festival. The camp, which started with only a wooden structure inhabited by the general overseer, today boasts of primary and secondary schools, a 3-star hotel, a full-fledged residential Bible college, office complexes, and restaurants. But it was the Holy Ghost Festival that took the redeemed Christian Church of God to a glorious pedestal and changed the history of the gathering of God's children in Africa and indeed the world. At a meeting of some selected members of his church, later called Divine Partners, at the Musan Center in Lagos in 1998, the reticent general overseer had shared a dream of how Nigeria would become the greatest country on earth. This dream, according to the man of God, would be actualized through a special program to be called Holy Ghost Festival, which would hold in Nigeria in the third weekend of December every year.
We were thinking of holding 2 million people crusade in somewhere in Lagos. But then there was this government that came up and said that they're going to have a 2 million man march. He immediately he said something. That's where I tell you he draws his motivation from, inspiration from God. He said, if 2 million people gather to praise the man, that's like devil is trying to tell us we are trying to worship God with 2 million people. He's going to have 2 million people to give praise to somebody else apart from God. Then he said, no, my God cannot have 2 million. My God is going to have 4 million. And that was the first Holy Ghost festival.
The maiden edition of the festival, tagged Divine Visitation, was held at the Lekki Beach along the Akbar Lagos Expressway. The awesome attendance was put at 6.5 million by the church ushers. Pastor Adeboye spent his time praying to his gracious and almighty Father, fasting sometimes for 40 days, devouring hungrily the Word of God, embarking on soul-winning and outreach programs within and outside his country, Nigeria. He would walk up and down the stairs at night to keep awake until he was convinced that he had touched heavens with his petitions and supplications.
Still waits on the Lord in fasting and prayer for some 3 days to the Holy Ghost service. And then 2 days to the Holy Ghost service, he doesn't see people. On that Holy Ghost service day, he won't even want to meet anybody because he wants to just stay with the Lord and stay with him. And I believe this is why there is that spiritual intensity during the Holy Ghost service, those accurate prophetic utterances that touch people's lives.
I know some people here tonight. Every debt that you owe, God is going to pay. I know some people here today who will never borrow again. If you are one of them, say amen loud and clear. There's a woman here with the issue of blood. You can check now.
Pastor Adeboye left no one in doubt about his closeness to and faith in his Father in heaven as God began to perform miracles and wonders through him. At the Holy Ghost services and festivals, miracles reigned. The blind see, the deaf hear. A weak heart receives a new heart. A poor brain gets a new brain. A woman without fallopian tubes gets new ones. It is therefore not surprising that the Holy Ghost Festival has witnessed explosive increase in attendance in the last few years. And as many as 4,000 people have had to come out in response to an altar call.
And say, God, I've come to surrender. Come to surrender my life to you. Thank you, Father.
Like the wind of silent mystery, Pastor Adeboye's fame has spread across continents. He has met with presidents, ministers, governors, senators, emperors, and kings. Despite these divine strides, the little boy from the forest village of Ifewara, whose father was so poor that he could celebrate the buying of an umbrella with a live chicken, still remains manifestly humble. He is so simple that the Nigerian president, Chief Olusegun Obasanjo, described him as a most humble man who goes about the propagation of the gospel with utmost simplicity and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For this man of God, whose childhood dream was to be a boxer, his humility would have nothing to do with his staggering ambition aimed at pleasing his Father in heaven. Now he is believing his Almighty Father to achieve his vision of having at least one member of the Redeemed Christian Church of God in each family, in every nation across the globe. He wants to have at least a parish in every town and village in the world, so that on the last day, people of all races will be brought into God's kingdom on the platform of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Although the general overseer appears obsessed with prayers to his great Father in heaven, and although he would rather live a spirit-filled life every second of the day, this child of God, whose father was so poor that even the poor called him poor man, still loves the arts. But having found God and having felt his awesomeness, his latent interest in music was rekindled. Inspired by Psalm 47 and 149, the mathematics master becomes a composer, writing great songs and music in praise of the Holy One in heaven that he simply calls Daddy. Most of the parishes now have their own bands, and some of their recorded songs can be found in thousands of homes across nations. Pastor Adeboye has come to mean so much to so many people across generations.
When you are running a race, some people will be blaming you, some people will be praising you, but the only thing is, don't listen to anyone again.
God has called him, and he has been listening to God. He must continue to listen to God and God only.
I believe the future is very bright. And I will encourage all Christians who are in this race with us that they should be fervent in their Christian race, most especially those who are in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, and have the hope in their God that tomorrow will be all right.
Indeed, Pastor Enoch Adejare Adeboye is an achiever. As a child, he never had a fat wallet, but he had a fat will. He had to starve himself of food for 2 days to compel his poor parents to sell their possessions and borrow additional money to send him to secondary school. He achieved his goal without knowing that he had a great Father in heaven, a Father who can provide all his needs. And now that he has known him and understood his awesome powers, now that he could speak to him any second, minute, or hour, this humble man, who introduces himself simply as a child of God, is sure that all his hopes and aspirations will be transformed into concrete realities. He will achieve all his dreams because his life has been a great leap of faith, and because his Almighty Father is higher than God.